Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we're holding the very bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Beis, the final two lines, where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah of Ishas Imoy. Brother Shai, good morning. We're just starting Kuf Yud Amud Beis, the last two lines. For Ishas Imoy, a person yarshins his own mother, Rachman Litzlan, a lady passes away, leaving over children, so the sons go and Yarshin from the mother. And the Gemara says, Minoan Emili, how do I know this? That the Gemara's Shaila Minoan Emili is really a double Shaila, says Rishbam. Number one, how do I know that a man Yarshins from his mother? So you're going to tell me, why not? Because the Pasuk that we've always been quoting always starts off, it's the same Pasuk. That if Chas V'Sholom a man passes away, what's the Lashon HaPasuk? Ish Kiyomus Uven Ein Loi, person, a man, Ish Kiyomus Uven Ein Loi, Vavartim Et Nachlos Levitai. So what do I see from this? And an Ish, a man passes away, then the son Yarshins. If there's no son, then it goes to the daughter. But it doesn't say anything about if a lady passes away, who Yarshins. In fact, says Rishbam, maybe not the son. Maybe the daughter should go and yarshin from the mother. Or maybe both of them should yarshin together. How do we know that there's priority? Brother Shai, please put yourself on mute. There's some noise there in the back. So if you look at the last two lines of the Rishbam, here on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, Menoni Mili, Do Ish Yarshis Inmai. First of all, how do we know that a man yarshins his mother? Number two, V'loy habas es ima. Maybe it's the daughter. After all, you know, keep it the same gender. A man passes away, son yarshins. A woman passes away, maybe the daughter should yarshin. Why? V'loy habas es ima. That what? The ben koydim labas b'nichsio eim. How do I know that the son goes before the daughter b'nichsio eim? That Ben has priority over Bas, that's the pasuk that we've been quoting, Dichsiv, Ish ki yomus, a man dies, uven ein loy bavartim. Avul isha ki somus min olam. Where does it say in the Torah that if a woman dies, the yoris lo bein, that the son yarshins? So that's shaila number one. When it says in the Mishnah, Ishas imay, the son yarshins the mother, how do we know? No pasuk. Number two, the gaminolim sheyiktum lebas. How do we know that he comes first in line? Maybe he comes second in line after the bas. Or maybe he goes together with the bas, hand in hand. How do we know that the son yarshins the mother, and how do we know he gets top billing, top priority, before the bas? Says him where to turn around. Sahabraisa. It says in the pasuk v'chol bas yereshes nachlo mit matois b'nei Yisrael. It says a bas is yereshes nachlo. A girl can go, a daughter can go in yarshin and nachlo from matois b'nei Yisrael, from two separate matois. And the pasuk continues on the echod mi mishpachas mati ovia tia li isha l'man yirshu b'nei Yisrael ish nachlo savoisav. What this pasuk is telling you, I'm sure you all remember, this has to do with the Benois Tzlovchad. Benois Tzlovchad were only daughters, there were no sons. Initially, they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not fair. A person passes away, and then what happens? And there's no Yerusha? If there's no son, if a person passes away, leaving no son, so you're going to tell me all of his Yerusha, whatever's left the whole estate, is just hefker. I mean, there has to be some halacha applying to a person that passes away without any sons. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Yefreitach gut, I'm going to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu." And Kodesh Baruch Hu came back and said, "Kein benois tzlofcha doivrois." Yes, yes, what they're saying makes a lot of sense, and therefore that's where the parasha begins. That if and when Chas V'Sholom ish kiyomus ven ein loy, you're right. Vabartim zachlos levitoy, give the nachla to the daughter or to the daughters, and therefore the Bnei Slavchad had a chelik ba'aretz, the chelik of their father Slavchad, who otherwise, unfortunately, had no sons, but he had Baruch Hashem daughters, so the daughters got that Nachla. And then after that, the Shevet of the Bnei Slavchan came and complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what's going to happen? These Bnei Slavchan are going to marry out of the Shevet. They're going to, quote-unquote, intermarry. They're going to go marry from Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, whatever it is. And Chas V'Sholem, if and when they pass away, then whatever Nachla they had, whatever Yerusha they had from their father, in the case of Bnei Slavchan, the Yerusha that they got from Slavchan, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to remain within our Shevet. If they marry out of the Shevet, it's going to go to either their husbands or to their sons. And therefore, even if it goes to their daughters, but the Masa, it's going to leave our Shevet and go to the other Shevet. So then it says in the Pasuk, no, you're 100% right. And that's when this Pasuk says, Chobas Yereshet Nachla, Mimatis B'nei Yisrael, any daughter that's ro'oi to go and yarshin a nachla from Matis B'nei Yisrael, li'echad mimishpachas mati avia t'yali isha, meaning, why is she yereshes nachla? If there are boys, if she has brothers, why is she yarshining? Muzuch zayn, she has no brothers. And therefore, she's on her own. One girl or multiple daughters, they want to go and receive nachla if and when Chas V'Sholem, their father passes away. Says the Pasuk, Le'echad mimishpachas mati avia t'yali isha. They got to stay within the family, within the mata, so that the nachlois of various matas should not change hands from nachla to nachla. You come to the portion of the mushal of Shevet Don, and then you see spots here and there. Oh, this is Taka Shevet Don, but here in the northern corner, that belongs to Naphtali. And the southern corner, that belongs to Gad or to Asher. How did that happen? Because there were girls in that Shevet that yarshined from their father. They married out of the Shevet to someone else. And now, from other Shvatim, they own that piece of property. So, that would have caused major problems. Therefore, the Torah says, we don't allow for such girls to marry out of their Shevet. For those of you that feel that this is very restrictive and confining, as you all know, this was just a one generational thing, because the Gemara Maseches Tanis, and we're going to have it here later in Bava Basra, we get to Kuf Chof or Kuf Chof Aleph. The Gemara is going to tell us that the next generation, they changed the rules, and they said that in fact a girl can marry out of her Shevet, even though she's taking the Nachla of her mother with her to another Shevet. Not or even Nachla of her father. She's taken to another Shevet, it's not a problem. When did they make this fundamental change in rules? This was made on Chamish Usa B'Av, and that's why the Gemara says that's one of the six reasons why Chamish Usa B'Av, because now we allowed all of the girls of all of the Matis to marry and intermarry from one Shevet to the next, etc. Okay, all of that is fascinating. So that's the background of the Pasuk. But what do I see from this pasuk? It says, "V'chobas yereshes nachla mimatois b'nei Yisrael," that a daughter can go and be yereshes nachla from two separate matzos. V'etimora heich bas yereshes shnei matzos. How can she possibly yarshin from two matzos? I can understand she can yarshin from one matzah, but two matzos. Yes. Elazusha via mishevet echad ve'ima mishevet acher. Oh, she was the daughter of a mixed marriage. Her father, Lemushel, was from Reuven. Her mother, Lemushel, was from Shimon. They married. And then years later, Umesu Nebuch, both of them passed away. The Yorsha's son, and she Yarshin from both of them, both from Tati and from Mami, from Abba and from Ima. Oh, so what do I see clearly from this posse? I clearly see that a Bas can Yarshin her mother. So remember, we started off with two shaylas, said the Rishbam. How do we know bechlal that a woman will actually? We haven't touched on the two shaylas yet. We had the two shaylas were: how do we know that a son can go and yarshin from his mother, and how do we know that the son comes before the daughter? All we've established so far is that a girl, a daughter, yarshins from her father and from her mother. Mi matois. So we haven't touched on our two shaylas yet. We're going to get there in a moment. But the Rishbam answers a very, very fine question, and that is, how did the Ruveni go and marry this lady from Shimon in the first place? If this lady in Shimon, when she passes away, years later, 50 years later, 80 years later, is going to leave a nachla for her daughter, that means that she must have yarshin from her own father. If she yarshin from her own father, how did she go and marry the fellow from Reuven in the first place? Didn't we just simply say that you're not allowed to marry outside the Shevet if that woman happens to be the only Yoyreshes in her family, that there are no brothers, no siblings? So Rishbam says it's talking about a situation where the lady from Shimon initially had a bunch of brothers, or at least one brother. And so therefore, when the Masad the Kedushin asked all the necessary shaylas, what's your yichus and what's your yichus and this and that and the other thing, guess what happened? She said, I'm from Shimon. Well, the Chosin said, I'm from Reuven. Okay, so the first question on the questionnaire that the Masad the Kedushin would ask is, I don't know if the first question, maybe the second question he would ask is, tell me, are you a Yoyreshes Nachla, you young lady? Meaning, if and when, Chulil Vachas, your father's going to pass away many years from now, at 120, are you going to Yarshin? So she said, no. Why not? Baruch Hashem, I have five brothers, and all of them, they're going to Yarshin. Unfortunately, I'm not going to get anything, because as we know, that the Bonim Yarshin from the Av, and only in Eloi Ben, then Bavartus Nachlos Levitai. Oh, so the Masad HaKedushin said, okay, no problem. You can now marry outside the Shevet, because I'm not worried about that any Yerush is going to go from one Mata to the other, because of the fact that you got brothers. So if and when Chulila, your father's going to pass away, guess what? It's not going to come to the girl, to the daughter, it's going to come to the brothers, to the sons. So that was fine. After they got married, then unfortunately, Eleni, all of the brothers passed away. Maybe there was a car accident, but they were all in one accident, Rahman al-Islam, or maybe there was only one brother, and he predeceased her. Anyway, bottom line is that eventually she was the only daughter left to that father and to that mother. And what happens now? They, the Reuvenite, the fellow from Reuven, who married the girl from Shimon, Baruch Hashem, they were zoicha to have one daughter. Oh, Baruch Hashem, tremendous simcha, they had a daughter. Eventually, both the father of this daughter, the Reuvenite, passed away, and eventually the young lady from Shimon also passed away. Now, the young lady from Shimon, before she passed away, she yarshin from her father. Why did she yarshin from her father? Because her brother Nebuch predeceased her. Ah, so therefore she had a Yerusha from her father. The father, the Reuvenite, had his own Yerusha from his father. So now when ultimately both of them passed away, there's only one Yoreshes. Who's that one Yoreshes? This young lady, the daughter of both the Reuvenite, together with the lady from Shimon. So she's going to go and get the Yerusha from her father. That so far is going to remain in the Shevet, because until she marries, she's there, and she has the Yerusha from her father. She also has the She's a sole Yoreshes from her mother, because there were no boys. There were originally five brothers in the Marshal, but they all passed away. And by the way, it's not only that they passed away, but they left no children. Because if they left children, then they would also have a din kadima over the girl. But this lady from Shimon, but that's a later Gemara that we're going to have. Gemara is going to say, Ben Einloi, Ayin Olav, see if he has any children. Okay, but that's already not our sugi for today. But bottom line is, this young lady now, who's the daughter of someone from Reuven, and the mother who was originally from Shimon, she's going to yarshin both her father, a Reuven form of Nachla, a Reuven piece of Nachla, and she's also going to go and yarshin from her mother, who herself was the sole remaining child and descendant of her parents, of her father. So she had a Nachla from Shimon. Both of those Nachlas are going to be now to the daughter of the the Reuvenite who married the lady from Shimon. So that's the pasuk. So I see clearly from this that a girl yarshins from not only her father but also from her mother. Says more of Ein Li Ela Bas. I only know now that a daughter yarshins from a father and mother. Ben Minayin, how do I know that a son? Now, we're obviously not asking how do we know that the son yarshins from the father. The Duchess Duch the Pasik. Ish Kiyomus then Ein Loi. Vavartu is Nachlos Levita. That's not the Shaila. The Shaila of the Gemara is how do I know that a Ben also yarshins from his mother? Maybe a Ben yarshins from his father and a girl yarshins from her mother. And how do you know otherwise? Minai, so the Gemara tell you, Amris Kal V'Chaymer. What's a Kal V'Chaymer? Umadach Bas, Shehura Koichem Nechse Av. When it comes to Nechse Av, Bas is second in line. She's second priority. What's the din vis-a-vis the Ben? He's first priority, right? It's got to be Ish Kiyom is Veinein Loi. First it goes to the Ben. If there's no Ben, then it goes to the Bas. So therefore, Bas, Hura Koichem Nechse Av, that she's second on line. However, she has tremendous koich b'nichseim that I have a pasik. She gets a nachla from the mother. So then she yofa koich b'nichseim. Ben whose koich is greater b'nichseim, meaning it says b'feish in the Torah ish kiyomus. Oven ein loitz, and then the ben gets first. And then she yofa koich b'nichseim. Then zicher, he should have a strong koich b'nichseim to get at least like his sister, just like the daughter yarshins from the mother, then at the very least the son should also yarshin from the mother. So now we've already answered Rabbi Yisai the first shaila that we started off with. What was our shaila? It says in the Mishnah, Ho ishes imoy, a man yarshins his mother. How do I know? Combination of pasuk that it says that a daughter yarshins the mother, and now I have a kal v'chaymer if a daughter who normally is shvacher, yarshins the mother, is the chavad of the son who is starker. Where do I see shvach and stark? The gabi yerushas hu'av. But I'm now saying, based on that kal b'chaymer, since I see that the son has more koiches than the gizuntai bari, I see that the son has more koich than the daughter, so if the daughter can go and yarshin from her mother, gizuntai again, then zicher, the son can go and yarshin from the mother. So now we've answered question number one, that a man is Yerush HaSimai. But we have now question number two, and that is, how do I know that he gets priority, that the Ben comes before the Bas, be Yerush HaSaim? Maybe they go on and Yarshin together. Or maybe the Bas Yarshin's before the son. How do I know that son goes before daughter? We're going to learn it from that same Kal V'Chaymer. Mal Alon Ben Koidim LeBas. Since the whole Mokar that I'm learning that Ben yarshins his mother is from the fact that he has yofa koichoi keneged vis-a-vis his sister, so Ben koim labas afkan here too Ben koim labas, just like by Av Bonim come before Bonoi shtei techatar ishki yomus of en eloi after the Ben bavartim es nachlosai. Okay, so now the same halach applies also legabe the mother. If the mother passes away, the Ben comes first, and after that goes the Bas. Azei Zokti Mar. So with this now we have answered question number two. Now we answered, how do I know that Ben yarshins from the mother? That's the combination of the Pasuk and the Kal V'Chaymer. But now we also know from the Kal V'Chaymer, Min Mokim Shabbos, since the Makor that a son yarshins is from the case of the Av, just like by the Av, he goes first. Same thing, here too he goes first. So we've answered now question number two as well. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, that second question is not so simple. Because Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Yosef, Omru Mishum, Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav. Remember Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav, because we're going to have him another five times over the next 20 lines. What did they say about Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav? Echad Hamben, the Echad Abbas, Shavim b'nichseu aim. Wow. Although if a father passes away, son comes first. And if there's sons, no Yerusha min HaTorah for the daughters. That's it. Only if ein loy ben, babartim es nachlos levito. Then ein loy. But if there's a ben, it goes to the ben. But if a mommy passes away, then the son and the daughter go together to split up the Yerusha. There are only two of them, a ben and a bas, 50-50, they split it up. Freitimon, my time, where do you take this from? Rav Zecharia ben Akatsuf. Da yoylovan midin liyoyz kin nidoin. Oh, we all know that famous halacha of dayoy. What is halacha of dayoy? That when you're learning a kal v'chomer, the kal v'chomer can only make the kal as chomer as the original chomer. But it can't go make it starker, can't make it stronger. What does that mean? We're saying over here, excuse me, that the Torah only tells us really about that a daughter can yarshin from the mother. Because it says, v'chol bas yereshes nachla, mi matois b'nei Yisrael, I see that a bas yarshins from two matois, both from her father and from her mother. Okay, that's good. How do I know that a ben can also yarshin from a kal v'chaim? So the kal v'chaim, it tells me that a ben is also in the parsha of yarshining from his mother. But based on this kal v'chaimer, to leapfrog over the daughter and to say that he comes first, that's already pushing it, Rabbi Yisai. Based on the kal v'chaimer, we can go and fill in the blank and say the son can also yarshin from the mother. But to say that, based on the kal v'chaimer, he should come first, da'yoy, it's his genuk from Loshen Dayenu, like we say on Pesach Nat. Pesach night, Leo's kidin, that the son should have at least the same power as the daughter, but to have even a greater power than the daughter, to go and say that he comes first, that's l'chayra, it's not fair. Where do you learn that? You have the parsha of Daya. And therefore, says Rechai ben Akatsiv, Aitaka import son, that he also yashins from the mali, but the same madrega as the daughter. So if chas v'sholom, a mother passes away, all of the children split up the Yerusha alike. That's what Rizkaya ben Akatsiv says. I think Barry has a question.
Is it also cut back on the Bechor of anything Pishnayim? If the brother is a Bechor, and in the Nisei, Av would get Pishnayim,
okay.
Is it only considered like a Pashut?
Barry, you're asking an excellent question. Please go down to the last two lines on the Omud, and you'll see the Gemara asks your Shaila. Would you say by the matzah ein b'chor noitel pishnayim? The very question that you just posed. Thank you very much. We're going to deal with that in Yat Hashem in a few minutes. But in the meantime, says the Gemara, I have a dayoy, liyoy skenod, and therefore, says Rechai ben Akatsiv, chas v'sholem, a son does not get before the daughter, b'nichsei hu'eim in mami's estate, they are together. And as we'll see, this became a very hot potato. Doesn't the Tanakhama agree? Everybody agrees to the concept of dayoy. Disanya, how do I know? Maiden kal v'chomer ketzad. How do I know that this b'chlal a din of kal v'chomer with the dayoy undermining or undercutting the kal v'chomer? Because it says in the pasuk by Miriam, "Vayemishal Moishe v'avia yorek yarek b'fanel halisikolim shivas yom." It's talking about that Miriam spoke poorly about Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore she became, unfortunately, a mitzoyra, or really a mitzoyra'as. And, as you'll recall, it says in the Pasuk that afterwards Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal for her, kel no rafa no Allah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, this tzeras is going to go away, but you got to wait for 7 days, and the whole, everybody in Klal Yisrael waited for 7 days until her tzeras left her, and then they moved on. Alright, so now the Lashon HaPasuk is that Hashem says to Moshe, can you imagine Vavia Yorek Yorek B'Fanel? If the father were offended by what the daughter did. So what happens now? Halisikolim Shivas Yomim, it would be a 7 day lockup period for Taras. But here, Kal V'Chaim L'Shechina Arba Aser. Here she was not just critical of a father, she was being critical of Rabbi Yishlam, because Rabbi Yishlam told Moshe what to do and what not to do, and Moshe was just the Eved Neman to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what Hashem said. So, Miriam, who are you to criticize not only Moshe, but you're also indirectly criticizing Rabbi Yishlam. And therefore, you should be locked up for 14 days. But you know why we're only going to lock you up for 7 days? Since we're learning it from the case of Father, which is 7 days, even though when you're being mavazed to shchina, it should be more. Nevertheless, we're going to keep it at the 7-day level because of the concept of diet. So why did we say in our Gemara that the ben comes before the bas based on the kal v'chaymer? We have this diet. Ever the Gemara avad b'alma darishtai. You're 100% right. The Tanakam, of course, darshins diet. Everybody darshins diet. Shani Hocha, here there's a different reason. The reason is because in addition to the Kal V'Chomer, we have a Hekish. The Omer Krot says in the Pasuk that we quoted on the top line, V'chobas Yereshes Nachla Mimat Hoyis B'nei Yisrael, says Rishbam L'Choyrit should say, V'chobas Yereshes Nachla Mishnei Matois B'nei Yisrael. What's that Mimat Hoyis? Mimat Hoyis Makish Matei Ein L'Matei Yo'av. We go and have the Hekish, Mate in Matiyah, Matiyah ben Koyim Lebas, Matiyah ein ben Koyim Lebas. Just like by the Matiyah, ben comes first, by the Matiyah also ben comes first. This, by the way, doesn't mean that we forget about the Kal V'Chomer. We still have the Kal V'Chomer, because without the Kal V'Chomer, we wouldn't even know that ben is in the Parsha of Yoyrish from the mother. The only pasuk that we have Yarshin from a mother is the Bas Yereshes Nachla Mimatois from the two Matois, both the Shevet Ho'av and the Shevet Ein. It doesn't say anything about the Ben. Echodecha b'Kal V'Chomer, and the Kal V'Chomer says, Madach, a Bas who has a Shvacha Koyach, weaker Koyach, vis-a-vis her brother, is the Chavad Agabe, the Yerusha Se'ein. Certainly the Ben, he also has a din of Yerusha. But how do I know that the Ben comes first? Don't learn that from the Kal V'Chomer because I have a Dayoi. But I can learn it from Mimatois, from the Hekish. That just like when it comes to the daughter Yarshining from a father, Mimatois, right? She's Yarshining from both Matois. Just like when she Yarshins from the Mate Av, she goes second in line. So too, when it comes to Yerusha Se'ein, it goes second in line. But the Matois alone would not tell you that a son Yarshins, because the Pasuk is not talking about a son. The Pasuk only talks about a bas. So I first have to import the son based on the Kal V'Chomer. Now that I have that Kal V'Chomer, and I see that a son also yashins. Does he go first? Does he go second? Does he go the same? I learned from the din of Matois. Just like everywhere else, the son goes before the daughter. Here too, the son, by the Yerusha Se'ein, goes before the daughter. But that's only us. Us meaning our Chazal. But not Reb Zchari ben Akatsif. Reb Zchari ben Akatsif says no. Echad ben v'echad bas shavim benichsio ein. What do they call it today? Egalitarian. That they're exactly the same. You're going to see now there was tremendous, tremendous opposition. The Gemara tells us Rav Nitai, that was his name, Rav Nitai, shavim lemebet uf the Reb Zchari ben Akatsif. He had unfortunately such a situation. A lady passed away, leaving over Yerusha. There's a son and a daughter. They both wanted to yarsh, and he said yo. Both go and Yarshin together. Amalei Shmuel, Kiman Kischaria, you're passing like Kischaria ben Akatsif. Ofei Scharia, the word Ofei means like zero Scharia. We don't mean Chas Hashem zero Scharia. What it means, says Rajbam, is that the halacha of Reb Scharia is not la halacha. His viewpoint is very choshev, Yavada, he was a Tana, very, very choshev a person. However, either Tana or Moira, I'm not sure. But bottom line, he's certainly not, we do not follow him. But rather, we follow the other opinion that the ben comes before the bas. So you want the bas like Scharia, of Scharia, forget about Scharia, arose. And we have simile. Reb Tavla of it of the Krib Scharia ben Akatsav. He also wanted to pass from Scharia ben Akatsav. Ben and bas get together. Omle Reb Nachman, my high, what's going on over here? Omle, he said, the Omer of Chinna bar Shalmi, Mishmei the Rav, Halach Krib Scharia ben Akatsav. That's what I heard. In the name of Rav, that like Krib Scharia ben Akatsav. Go and repaskin your shayla. In other words, he, Reb Tavla, over the b'schayiv and akatsiv, apparently he already issued the psak din, said, now Shmuel, said Rav Nachman to him, go and change your psak. Take your old psak, tear it up, and write a new psak. The son gets before the daughter. If not, mafink meloch Rav Chinna bar Shalom yimi unach. You are quoting Rav Chinna bar Shalmim, name of Rav. If you're not going to follow what I'm telling you, says Rav Nachman, I'm going to pull out Rav Chinna bar Shalmim from your ear. And that's an expression. And the Rishbam says what he really means to say is, I'm going to put you into Chayrim, and you can scream out Rav Chinna bar Shalmim's name as many times as you want. It's not going to make any difference because we do not follow that view like Reb Zecharia ben Akats. So therefore you see Reshbam has a very strong, if you want to look at the first line of the middle lines down below, at 10-12 lines on the bottom of the Omid. Mafik meloch, mishamti meloch, losh neshamta, I'll put you in chayrim, v'lo yisayloch Rav Chinna bar Shalmiya. You're quoting Rav Chinna bar Shalmiya 20 times, it guunisht health, and is not going to help you. That's how Reshbam learns. It's interesting, the Rabbeinu Gershom learns a little bit differently. In my Gemara, the Rabbeinu Gershom is the first wide line, all the way in the bottom, first wide line, towards the end of the line. It says, well, actually in the middle of the line, the Eloi to Hadr, if you're not going to change your mind, Mafik Lach Reb Chananya, or Reb Chanina, ben Reb Shalmiya, mi Unach, the one that said, Yom Aloch Reb Zecharia, what means Unach? Kaloimar, Mishalecho Oitzi, Baal Korchach, V'yahadalei. If you're not going to go and change your psak and say son comes before daughter, and therefore the daughter doesn't get, if you're not going to change your mind, I personally, said Rav Nachman, I'm going to force you, Mishalcha Oitzi, you. Who is this you that he's talking to? He's talking to Reb Tavla. If you're not going to go and change your psak, I'm going to go and put a lien on your property. And I'm going to garnish from you the amount that you gave to the daughter, because the daughter doesn't deserve to receive anything, but rather that amount, you're going to have to pay it, but Hadalin, you're going to have to go and give it to the son. So you better change your mind quickly, otherwise you're going to feel it in your own pocketbook. And similarly, Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Sov of the Mevet Uvdi Kribat Chaya Ben Akatsif, Omelie Rav Nachman, again Rav Nachman, my high, what are you doing? Where are you coming from? You want to puff on Rav Zecharia ben Akatsif. Omelie di Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, I heard, says Rav Huna Bar Chiya, I heard in the name of Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Alok Rav Zecharia ben Akatsif. That's why I want to pass in that way. Omelie, Rav Nachman said to him, Ashalachle, you know what? If you're quoting Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Rav Huna Baruch Hashem is still alive, we can go and send a shliach miyuchad to Rav Huna to ask him, is that in fact what you paskind? Ichsif, when Rav Huna Bar Chiya heard this from Rav Nachman, he got all white and pale. He was embarrassed. Why was he embarrassed? Says Rishbam, the fact that Rav Nachman saying, let's ask Rav Huna, ayayay, you know what might happen? In a week or 2 weeks from now, when the shliach comes back, he may say that Rav Huna, in fact, changed his mind and does not say that Rav said we pass him like Zecharia ben Akatsif. Or maybe he will see that when we get back to Tshuva Rav Huna, maybe I, Rav Huna Bar Chiya, maybe I made a mistake. And when I quoted Rav Huna in the name of Rav, maybe it was in error. So therefore he was really upset. Amalei, and now Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Hashtag Yoch Nafshe to Rav Huna, is Chas Rishonim Rav Huna would already have passed away? He was still alive. But had he passed away, Isrisis Lekabli, then you would have been all in arms against me. In other words, you would have challenged me, Rav Nachman, by saying, who are you, Rav Nachman? We have the Rav Huna, who said the name of Rav, that we paskin Reb Zecharia ben Akatsif. So boy, are you lucky, and I am lucky, that Rav Huna is still around, so we can find out what the real psak is. And I'm telling you, says Rav Nachman, the psak is, we do not follow Reb Zecharia ben Akatsif. The Iu Keman Sovra, how taka did Rav Nachman feel so strongly about it? Because he had the Kabbalah. Not Rav Huna Omer Rav, the halach is like Reb Zecharia ben Akatsif, but faker, ki ha de Rav Ushmul, the Amri Tavayu, ain halach Reb Zecharia ben Akatsif. You should know the halach is not like Reb Zecharia ben Akatsif. The Ben and Bas do not yarshin together. Ben comes before Bas, even be Yerushas Ho'ein. And now the Gemara tells us another story. Mistamachli ozer Reb Yanai akasved Reb Simloi Shamei. Reb Yanai was already elderly, and he could no longer see that well. Rishbam says, Heichlu or Heichelu Einov Kehois. He started to have a dim vision, and therefore he needed a Shamis to go and lead him from place to place. And who is this Shamas? Reb Simloi. So, Mistamach Ba'ozel, Mistamach means Reb Yanai supported himself, a kaspa, on the shoulder of Reb Simloi, Shame, his Shamas. And they were walking down the street, the Osir Behuda Nasi Lapayu, and then Reb Yehuda Nasi, not Reb Yehuda Nasi the Tana, but an Einikol, Reb Yehuda Nasiya, came from the other direction. And since he, Rabbi Yanai, couldn't recognize him because unfortunately his vision had dimmed and it was a couple of blocks away, Omalei, so now Reb Simloi says to Rabbi Yanai, he says, Reb, I want you to know there's somebody coming from the other side of the street, Bar Inishti Osel Keblona, that person that we're soon going to be Makabel upon him, that we're going to see in a moment, Hu Yoi, he looks very distinguished, the Gulza Yoi, and his talis, meaning his cloak, his beged is very distinguished. In other words, he looks like nobility. He looks like aristocracy. He looks like a very choshev yid. So kimot legabei, when they eventually met, presumably a minute later or whenever, goshesha, he, Reb Yanai, felt the beged of Reb Yehuda Nasiya. Amalei, he said, nah, you said that his beged is so choshev. Dain, this beged shiurei kisak, it's shiur for Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara is like of sackcloth. What does that mean? So when we learn about Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara, there's a difference between a normal beged that is Mekabel Tumah or a sackcloth that's Mekabel Tumah. Brother Shai, what were you saying?
Between three or four
tefachim. Okay, so what you're saying, half is certainly correct. When you're talking about the sackcloth, it's only Mekabel Tumah, as you say, when it's 4x4 tvachim. When you're talking about a beged, it really depends if you're talking about an oshir or an oni. Baruch Hashem, Brother Shai always has great aspirations, and he's also hopeful that all yidin should always be ashirim. So by an oshir, the din of Kabbalah's tumah is taka 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim, which is fairly a fairly smaller amount than the 4x4, right? This is 16 square. This is 9 square tvachim. However, if it's by an oni, in fact, it's 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois. Why? Because an oni, even if he only has a small little piece of material, he'll use it for a shmata, or theoretically can use it for a patch, for if you have a hole in your pocket or a hole in your suit or whatever it happens to be. Anyway, so the point is that he, Reb Yanai, was not at all impressed with the distinguished cloak that his shamus had just told him about. He says the thing feels like sackcloth. Okay, but we're not done yet. The Gemara continues on. Boi minei Reb Yehuda Nasiya, knowing that Reb Yanai was one of the Zikanim, presumably one of the Ziknei Hador, he said, I've been muching zach, I'm learning the daf now, and we're learning the sechtes bava basra. Can you tell me, how do I know that Ben comes first? Maybe Reb Chari ben Akatzav is right, that they go and get together. Omalei, so he told him, from the pasuk that we learned before, it says in the pasuk matois, doesn't say shnei matois, it says matois, makish mata ein lamatio, ava matio, ah, ben kari labas, amata ein ben kari labas, same drasha that the Gemara quoted before. And you'll remember that when we quoted this drasha, Barry immediately piped up and said, what about the din of Bechor noitel pishnayim? Omalei imamatehu av bechor noitel pishnayim af matu ein bechor noitel pishnayim. Since you've equated with the word matos, the matu av legavi matu ein, that the ben comes before the bas, let me ask you, if there's a bechor in the family, does he get a double portion as well? That was the question that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya posed to Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai was not at all impressed with the shayla. Onto the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, Omalei the Shame. See, he said to his shamas, what was his shamas' name? You remember we had on the Amid Aleph, Reb Simloi. He told him, good. Good, says Rajbam, means Mishoich Oisi Ve'elech. Lomagai, let's get out of here. This Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is less Dain, this individual, less Dain Tzavi, he doesn't want Lemelef to learn. In other words, he only wants to ask Kashis and Kashis and Kashis and Kashis. Shinganuk Kashis, let's move on. He's not really interested in hearing the answer to his own question. Frey Timura, okay, that's very good, but the time am I. What about us? We want to know, why isn't there a din of Bechor Noitel Pishnayim by Nichse or Ein? If you're saying Matos, we're equating Matya Avla Matya Ein. No, it should be the din of Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. Omer Abai Yom HaKor, because it says in the Pasuk by the Bechor, Ki as a Bechor bin Asnu Yakir Losis Loi Pishnayim Bechor Asher Yimotze Loi Ki Hu Reishis Oinoi Loi Mishpat HaBechor. Bechor Asher Yimotze Loi. When is there a din of taking Losis Loi Pishnayim Bechor Asher Yimotze Loi? Whatever is found in the estate of his estate, the Loi. Therefore, the Gemara darshins loy v'loy lo. This whole din of Bechor Noitel Pishnayim only applies to a father. It does not apply to the estate of a mother. Frey Timur ve'im ha'ani mili bochur shenosa almona. Av bochur shenosa psula hachanami d'shako. I love your drush of loy v'loy lo. But maybe this only applies in a case of, says the Gemara, a bochur shenosa almona. Meaning that the parents of this son, who was the Bechor, the father was Taka Bechor, in other words, he was never married before, and therefore when he married this Almana and they had their first child, oh, it's a Bechor. However, the mommy was an Almana, or of course it could be a Grusha as well, but the Gemara just gives an example of an Almana, and she already had children from her prior marriage. So therefore, this boy that's eventually born to them, Uya Simcha Mazel Tov Baruch Hashem, they have a Bechor, but it's only his Bechor, it's not her Bechor, because she already had children from a previous marriage. So maybe that's where the Torah says that even though this fellow is called a Bechor and everybody recognizes him, certainly all of his brothers and sisters recognize that he's the Bechor, and therefore he gets Pishnayim, there the Torah says Loi V'loi La, but not vis-a-vis the mother. Maybe if the original marriage was a Bachar who married a Psula, neither of them had any prior children from any previous marriage. Oh, and now they have a Bachar Mazel Tov, when eventually Chulila Bachas, the two parents pass away. Maybe this Bachar gets a double portion, not only in the father's Yerusha, but also in the mother's Yerusha. So maybe the Loi V'Loi Lo doesn't apply to the Bachar Nasa Psula, only to the case of Bachar Nosalmanim. Omer Nachma Yitzchak Amakra. Because of that, the pasuk continues on. In the same pasuk said, "B'chol Hashiyimotzi Loi Ki Hu Reishis Oinoi." Why do we need the word Oinoi? It could say Ki Hu Reishis Oin. The word Pashut, the word Oin means Koyach, the first strength. That means the first child that was produced by this individual. Ah, it says Reishis Oinoi. It's his Reishis Oinoi, because the din of Bechor Noitel Pishnayim is by the father, V'loi Oinoi, and not by the mother. Frey Timur, 1 second. This Oinoi V'loi Oinoi, I need for another drasha. What happens if a husband and wife got married, Chus and Kala got married, and then the first child that they had, unfortunately, was a Nefel? It's a terrible heartbreak, but these things happen. That the wife Taka became pregnant, Baruch Hashem, and then they waited for a few months, and then in her 5th month, the 7th month, even in her 9th month, the baby was born Mazel Tov, but the baby unfortunately was born stillborn, or the baby was born and passed away within the next 30 days, and therefore it was a Nefel. What's the din? Obviously, that child unfortunately is a Nefel. What happens if subsequently they have another boy? Mazel Tov, they had a boy. What would be the status of that boy? Says our Gemara, he would be the Bechor Lenachla. Rishbam quickly points out he's not a Bechor for all purposes. There is no din of pidyon haben by this Bechor, because it's not a Peter Rechem. There was already an earlier child that left the Rechem. That was the Nefel. However, the Gabi Nachla, he is a Bechor. How do I know? Because it says in the Pasuk, Misha Libay Dova Olav Yotzezesh Ein Libay Dova Olav. The din of Bechor, the Gabi Nachla, are the parents pained by this child's demise, or are they not pained? If a Nefel Nebuch passes away, it's a tragedy, but it's only a tragedy with a small t. It's not a major tragedy. However, if you're talking about a Bechor that Baruch Hashem lived full term, and now continues, Baruch Hashem, to thrive and to survive and to do a great job. What Chas V'Shalom, if he unfortunately has a terrible tragedy? Nebuch, I'm sure all of you have read that we lost four pure neshamas, Nebuch, 19 years old. Every one of them was 19 years old. Ah, Nebuch. The four soldiers that were just killed, Rachmanu Litzlan. So, li b'idava olav. Where does it say that in the words, in oinoi v'loi oina? Say the Mepharshim that the word oin is similar to the word aninos, or oinein. When are the parents terribly upset about a child? If chas v'sholem, they become oinenim after the child. And then afterwards, aveilim, right? Aninus is aninus. Yoim, and after that, they become aveilim. Says Zokta Yomara, when is there a din of Bechor l'nachla? Dafk, if that child happens to be an oinoi, Nebuch, the person passed away. Masha enkin, if it's a neifel, nisht geferlich. So I need the oinoi v'loi not to tell us that drasha. Not, I don't know from this, the drasha bochor shenosim psula. So Gemara, kein le'makraki hu reishis oin, my oinoi, shma minotarti. Ah, from the fact that it refers to him both as oin and oinoi, in other words, could have said, ki hu reishis koichoi. Why did it say reishis oinoi? So it could have said reishis oin, that tells us not nefalim, and then it says oinoi, to tell us oinoi v'loi oinoi. Maybe when is the Torah saying that there is no bechor noitel pishnai benichsio aim, that stavka in the reverse case, you have an almoin, a man that this is already a zivik sheni, and he already has a bechor and other children from a previous wife that marries a psula, and now there's a baby boy that's born, Baruch Hashem. It's a bechor for her, but it's not a bechor for him. So maybe that's what the oinoi v'loi oino comes to exclude, that if he's only a partial bechor, only an oino bechor, and not an oinoi bechor, then there's no din of noitel pishnayim from the mother. Av bech shenasa psula, where this bechor that is born is crowned with both statuses. He's both a bechor to his father and a bechor to his mother, maybe he should take, just like he takes a double portion of his father's estate, maybe he should go and get a double portion in his mother's estate. Elam Rava says Rava Amakra. Again, we're talking about the very same pasuk. The pasuk ends off, ki hu reishis oinoi, loy mishpara bechoira. Loy again is referring to the nifter, the person who passed away. Loy mishpara bechoira, mishpara bechoira li ish. There is no mishpat ha-bechoir. The whole parsha of bechoir, that a bechoir is noitel b'shnayim, is only by a loy and not by a law. That's the rule. That's the exerus of the Rabbanit Shalom. Ah, so with this fairly lengthy discussion, we have now addressed Barry's point of about 20-25 minutes ago, even though we learned from Matois that the son Yarshin's the mother, just like a son Yarshin's the father. But if he's a bechor, he only takes one portion; he doesn't take two, because lo mishpat bechorah and not lo mishpat bechorah. Okay, zokim orvait. It says in our Mishnah, for ishtas ishtoi, a man Yarshin's his wife. Rachmanu Litzlan, a wife passes away, then the husband Yarshin's his wife. Fredi manuana mili. How do I know? The Tanur Rabbanan. And this pasuk we already quoted before a couple of days ago. It says in the pasuk she'eroi. What does it say in the pasuk she'eroi? If you have the Torah or a Shalem number 2 or his base, the emain achim li aviv. What happens if they're no brothers? When it's after the nachlosa, the she'eroi akor of elam mimishpach of yorish oisa. And you remember we already said in the Gemara before that the psukim are not kisidron, because we don't mean literally that if there are no Acham the others, that means there are no uncles, then we give it l'she'eroi. No. It's talking about in ein acham le'oviv, then you give it to the karev kaidim. That's, you find whoever the closest relative, even if it's a third cousin, if that's the closest, that's who gets, again, has to be mishpacha sa'av. But the pasuk also says in unasata nachlosa l'she'eroi. Now what means l'she'eroi? So Gemara says she'eroi zu ishtoi, just like we have She'era k'susa v'aynosa la'yigra, it's talking about, and specifically over there, so about the Om Ivriya, but it's the same thing by all married women that they get she'er. So I see she'eroi is referring to the wife. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, she'er is ishtoi melamed shabal yorish es ishtoi. So from this I see that the Baal yarshins his wife. Now, to tell you the truth, Rabbi Sai, if you look at the pasuk and you teach it simply, it doesn't sound like that. Because the lashon of pasuk is, remember we're talking about ish ki yomas uben ein loy, a person passed away. If he has no son, give it to the daughter. If there are no daughters, give it to the brothers, no brothers, etc. And now the pasuk says, when he passed away, unisatim es nachlosel l'she'eroi, give the nachla to his she'er. Who's the she'er? Ishtoi. So the choyer from the pasuk, I learn not that the Baal yarshins his wife, but the wife yarshins the husband. That's the poshet ivra, Rabbi Yisai. The poshet of pshat in the pasuk is, the person died, unisatmas nachlos, they take his nachla and give it l'she'eroi, to his wife. That's how you'd learn a poshet. However, the Gemara does not learn it that way, and we'll see shortly two or three reasons why we don't learn the pasuk pshat in the pasuk. So, Gemara says, "She'eroi melamed shabal yorish es ishtoi. Yochel af hi tirushanu." I would think that she also yarshins from him, which, as we just said, now that's the pasuk pshat. Talma loymar, right after the words "L'she'eroi hakorav elam mishpachtei," it says, "V'yorash oisah." That means he yarshins her. Why does the Torah add that the Yorish Oisah? To tell you, who Yorish Oisah? Vein he Yorish Oisah. He does the Yarshining and not she. Like we just said a moment ago, that's not the Parsha Pshat and the Pasuk. If anything, the Pasuk is telling us two dinim. Din number one, that if a husband dies, give his Nachla L'She'eroi to his wife. And if she dies, then the Yorish Oisah. Then he yarshins from her. And then it would be exactly the same. Egalitarian. He yarshins from her. She yarshins from him. If in chas v'shalom they pass away. That's l'choyre, the Parsha Pshat and Pasuk. Omer Abaye. So Abaye has the first of three answers. Teres l'mon Abaye tritzachi. It says in the Pasuk, unesatim es nachlosai l'korav eilav she'eroi v'yorash oisa. Now, what Abaye is doing is, he is taking a word that appears later in the pasuk, and he's placing it earlier in the pasuk. Again, if you have the pasuk in front of you, it's ois beis, or number two. V'im ein acham yaviv. Again, since we're not going in the order kisidron, so those words can be ignored for our purposes. And then you continue the pasuk. When the satim is nachla soy l'she'eroi, the person passed away, give his nachla to the she'er, to the wife. No. Don't learn it that way. Take the word l'she'eroi and put it on the side just for a moment, and rather say, unesatim es nachlosei hakorav eilav mimishpachtoi. Person passed away, and you cannot identify any close kraven. They're not even uncles that would yarshin. So then, go and give it to hakorav eilav. Like the Gemara said before, hakorav korav loy, whoever happens to be the closest relative. Find a second cousin, a third cousin, an eighth cousin. Whoever you want, whoever is related, let him go and take the nachla. So that's unisatas nachlosai, hakorav elav, to that karav. And now what we're saying is, l'she'eroi, if you have a situation where she'eroi zu ishtoi, if a wife passes away, oh, v'yorash oisa. So you see that we're taking the words hakorav elav, putting those up front, l'satas nachlosai, to the karav elav, mimishpachtoi. And we're taking the word l'she'eroi and we're putting it at the end of the line, we're pushing it off and saying l'she'eroi v'yorash oisa. So that's how Abaye learns it, going back to Omer Abaye. Tritzachi explained the pasuk on Satan Taklosai, the Kor of Elov, by taking out the word she'eroi, and now she'eroi v'yorash oisa. Omer Rava says, Abaye, zat moichel, sakina harifa mepaskim, mifsika kroi, you go and take a sharp knife and you cut up the psukim by taking the word l'she'eroi and putting it later in the pasuk, that doesn't work. Elo merova hachikama. Rather, I'll tell you the way to answer our kasha. Hachikama nesatim es nachlas she'eroi loy, because kosovar goyernu meisifim v'darshin. What Rava does is something very unexpected. What's very unexpected? He does surgery on the letters and on the words that we just quoted. And that's what the Gemara calls goyern. He removes umaisifin, and then he's moisif, then he adds the dorshin and machta drushin. So what does that mean? So literally the pasuk says unisatim es nachlosoi lisheirai. So take from the word nachlosoi, take away the vav. Let it just say nachlas. From the word lisheirai, take away the lamed. So therefore, now it says in the pasuk unisatim es nachlas sheirai. Who is the sheirai? Zu ishtai. Give that nachla of the wife to whom? Loi, to him. Where did I get the word loi from? The lamed I took from lisheirai, and the vav I took from nachlosoi. I put together after the surgery the lamed and the vav. Chas v'shalom, a person sometimes needs a skin graft on his or her face. So then they go and take it from the back of the ear or the back of the leg or somewhere where it's not going to bother anyone unless you wear shorts all the time. So you go and take a skin graft from one place and you put it in the other place. So l'havdil, we're taking the lamed from lisha'eroi, we're taking the vav from nachlosoi, we put them together, now we have loi. Oh, so now the pasuk says, if you have a situation where a wife passed away, unesatim es nachla she'eroi, who do you give the nachla of the wife to? Loi, to him, to the husband. Kasav regorim esifim v'darshin. Now, if anything, I'm sure all of you are wondering and saying, isn't that also sakina harifa mifsak akroi? You're taking a sakin, and you're cutting off a vav here, and you're cutting off a lamed here, and you're putting them together. So that's not your kasha, my kasha. The Rishbam already is bothered by that kasha. And the Rishbam gives two pshatim. Pshat number one, he says, is even though the Gemara uses that expression of Gorim Oisif and Vidarshan, we don't really mean that. What we mean is that we're going to understand the pasuk as if it was Gorim Oisif and Vidarshan. How are we going to understand the pasuk? So Rishbam says, Unasatim esnach losai. We go and give a nachla. To whom? To a man who is going to receive the nachla. Where did he get that nachla from? From she'eroi. Now it says lisheiroi, it doesn't say mishe'eroi. So Rishbam says lisheiroi means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is addressing all the she'erois, all the married wives, and saying to the married wife, yes, of course, when you got married, you get all the rights and the things and the obligations which are set forth in your ksuba, as well as all the rights that a married woman has from her husband based on the Torah, but you also have a mission. And that mission is that if Chulila V'chas, you pass away, young lady, not necessarily now, after 120, then your Nachla goes to your husband. And so therefore, the way Rav is darshing the pasuk, unesatim es nachlosai, he give the husband his Nachla. Who does he get the Nachla from? From She'eroi, because I'm telling, says Rabbi Nishloelim, I'm L'She'eroi, I'm talking to the She'erois. When you pass away, your Nachla goes to your husband. So that's, the Rishbam is his first pshat. And then the Rishbam says, and even if you're going to learn literally our Gemara, that Goyren Umaysif V'Dorshin, it's still better than Abaya. Why is it better than Abaya? Because Abaya took whole words, L'She'eroi, and he picked it up, and he says, let's move it to the end of the line. It's no longer in the pasuk of unesatim nachlosai l'sheiroi, but rather unesatim nachlosai l'karaveilov, and then sheiroi v'yorish oisa. That's too much of a stretch. However, to go and take a letter here and a letter there, we're not taking full words. We're just taking a letter. No letter. Nishgeferlich. Okay, boys. I mean, even after both terutzim. I'm not saying chas v'shalom, who am I, but it's difficult to comprehend. It would seem that Rava's surgery is much stronger than Abaya's surgery. Rav is criticizing Abaya, taking sakina harif and mifsak akroi, and here Rava is literally parceling, he's cutting up words in the Torah, and he's putting them back together again. Abalamai says, oishteik, that's Rishbam's kasha, and that's Rishbam's tuturutim. Okay, so therefore, we have now, again, we asked initially, how do we know that a husband yarshens from his wife? So we've had two pshatim. Pshat number one, that's a bias pshat based on the Yorash Oysa, and we had to go and take the She'eroi and move it to later in the Pasuk. And now we have the pshat of Rava, that we go and make the surgery, and we say, Nacha She'eroi Lai. But there's a third makar that a husband yarshims from his wife, the sign you will learn that a brisa. Now we're going to start Rabbi Yisai on the brisa, but we're going to have to stop in the middle, because the brisa and the explanation of the brisa takes up more than half of tomorrow's Umid Aleph. But we're going to go and quote the brisa, Rabbi Shmuel Aymer. This V'yorish Oysa, that's identical to Abaya. So Abaya holds like Rabbi Kiva, V'yorish Oysa, that he yarshins from her. Rabbi Shmuel Oymer, oh, that's the V'haytana, says Rishbam. V'haytana means Rabbi Shmuel. He brings it from here. Oymer, ain't it tzarch? You don't have to look for V'yorish Oysa. Harry Oymer, I have another pasuk. V'chol bas yereshes nachal mimatis b'nei Yisrael, li'achon mimishpachas. Oh, so this is the pasuk that we started off today at the very top line in the Omer Aleph. That's how we know that a bas yarshins a nachla not only from her father but also from her mother. When she gets married, she should stay within her own shevet. Because if she moves out of her shevet, if a Shimon lady marries a Reuven man, what's going to happen? If and when she predeceases her husband, then the husband is going to yarshin from her, and now you're going to have a sisiv nachla, you're going to have a nachla switching from Shimon to Reuven. Oh, so you see that a bal yoyishes ishtoi. Very clear pasuk. Hari oimim b'chol bas yoyishes nachli matzah b'nei Yisrael, liyachem mishpachas, stay within the shevet. And besebis a bal akosim adabret, the concern is that by marrying outside the shevet, that her estate, or the estate of her father from Shevet Shimon, is going to move to Shevet Reuven. But I mean, if you're not happy with that pasuk, I have another pasuk. Don't let nachlis go from one mata to the other. I have another pasuk. Yet a third pasuk. And if we're not satisfied, I have another two psukim. V'yoyim v'loz ben aharon meis, Eloza passed away. V'yikbru oisoi begivas pinchas benoi. And they buried him in the giva, and the property, and the chvais, in the valley of Pinchas benoi, of his son Pinchas. Freiti mara, normally if Eloz, I'm sorry?
Giva.
A hill. Okay, thank you. Sorry. So we're not talking about valleys, we're talking about hills. Shkoyach, brother Shai. So they buried him, Elazar, in the Giva, in the hills. Presumably they made some sort of cave, like we had the catacombs we spoke about a week ago in the Gemara, right? So how many catacombs can you make? How many kuchen? So we had there in the Gemara, remember, 8, according to one man the Yama, according to the second man the Yama, you can make 13 in the corners. Agan Samaisa. Anyway, so they buried him in the hills of Pinchas Benoi. Now the question is, why does it say that they buried Elazar on Elazar's hills? Why do they have to go and bury him in Pinchas' hills? Because Elazar didn't own those hills, only Pinchas. How did Pinchas get them? If it didn't belong to Elazar, how did Pinchas get it? Of course, Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, maybe Pinchas bought it on the market, you know? There's no problem in buying somebody else's property. Anyway, that's going to be tomorrow's Gemara. El Malamit Shinasa Pinchas Isha, it must be Pinchas married a lady, Umesa, and she passed away, and that Isha had a Yerusha, and she, in other words, she had property from her base Av, and Pinchas Yorsha, he yarshin from her. Oh, I have another raya that a husband yarshins from a wife. But I might have another pasuk. Uzguv, hoilidus Yoyer, Zguv gave birth to Yoyer, for he loy, and Yoyer owned Esrim Bisholish Orim Be'eretz Agila. He was fantastically wealthy. He owned 23 cities. Can you imagine a place of 23 cities by its killer? And again, the same question. How did Yor have it? So we have now five separate psukim, says Rabbi Shmuel, that says crystal clear that a husband yarshins from his wife. So now, we're going to stop over here, but the obvious question is going to be, Rabbi Shmuel, what do you need five psukim for? Apparently, each pasuk has some sort of reis, some sort of answer, and therefore, pasuk number two, yeah, pasuk number three. So I mentioned that's what we're going to deal with tomorrow, but for today's purposes, if you're walking down the street, and someone says, well, you learned today's daf, how do you know that a husband yarshins his wife? So you tell him, either like a baya, which is really the shitas or mekiva, it says, v'yorash oisa, and therefore I have to displace momentarily the word she'eroi, or we're going to go and do the surgery of Rava, the sakina harifa mifsik akroi, what is his goyrim meisifim vidorishin? We're going to make aloy, lamed metavov. Or we have the rayas from Rabbi Shmuel, the five psukim that all suggest that a nachla leaves a wife and moves to the husband's kalim after she passes away. The atmos bekim Hashem alikechem chaim kol chamayoyim nitzim.